Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Ngorema, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my dear elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
The Lord is keeping me.
Oh, indeed, the Lord is keeping us here as well. Well, excited to have you once again here on AWR. I do hope that we are going to be concluding this week's conversation with you in a beautiful way. We're talking about marriage and the family. Now, divorce isn't something anyone wants, especially God. It was never his plan for his marriage. In fact, truth of the matter is, no one gets married just to plan to divorce after that. Yeah, but in living in a sinful world, sometimes divorce is a reality, even if we don't want it to be. So today, we're going to be talking about what the Bible teaches about divorce, and as well as what to do when the marriage is not ideal or healthy. But before we get to that, let's actually get to the first question here, Pastor. What does marriage teach us about God?
Oh, thank you for the question, my dear elder. My understanding, marriage teaches us about God's permanent love. Why do I say so? When he established or introduced the institution of marriage, it was meant to live forever. So we see a God who is so solid in whatever he does. Mm. Yeah. So I see God's love in marriage, because after the Lord gave Eve to Adam, there was a strong bond which was established, and Adam just sang a song or said out or a speech.
Yeah, a beautiful speech.
Mm. Yeah, expressing his love towards Eve, who was given to him. So I'm seeing a God who is a God of love. Yeah, and is a God who is not a God who creates or who introduces temporary things.
Mm, mm, mm.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. I actually also learned quite a bit of things about marriage. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, until you are married, you perhaps may not know exactly what to forgive is all about. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's correct, especially after sin. Marriage, maybe it's there to perfect our characters, mm-hmm. to make us grow. Because at times when you are single, you always lie to yourself that I'm a forgiving person, I'm long-suffering, I'm patient, I'm caring. Wait until you get married. That's when your choice will be tested.
Yeah.
Will be tested. And your character will be tested,
To see if what you are saying is indeed what you mean.
Yeah. Mm, sure. Yeah.
Hectic stuff. Now, Pastor, what if one gets married, but the marriage does not align with what the Bible prescribes? Then what?
That one is a bit tricky question, but let me air out how I understand that situation. God hates divorce. You can maybe only divorce where the marriage is life-threatening. So,
okay, please break that down for us.
Yeah, okay. For example, the husband, there is an extreme abuse in that marriage. Every day is threatening to kill you. You're being beaten. Every time you're in the hospital because of the abuses, etc., etc. When the situation is to that extent, well, you may not risk to die, but God hates divorce. Is that all things being equal, it's encouraged to find a way to solve or to settle such issues.
So the Bible says that if you are facing, you know, such things as you mentioned, for instance, domestic violence, then you can divorce. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No. You cannot get such a verse. But if you decided to divorce for any reason, according to the Bible, you are not supposed to remarry. The only license for one to divorce, if you choose to divorce, is when the other spouse indulge into adultery. You get the sense.
Okay. All right. So
yes.
if there is adultery, then God says, well, go ahead and divorce.
Yeah, but all things being equal, forgiving is the first option. Yes. If you read in the New Testament, because of the hardness of people's hearts, that's when God permitted that move. But God hates divorce 100%. Only death is supposed to separate a married couple.
Okay. Quite interesting. Yeah. So you're saying God hates divorce? That I heard you say
yes.
That. Where do we get this? And what is it that he hates about divorce exactly?
Okay. It is in the Bible. Well, off-head, the verses, I cannot say it now. Off-head, I'm forgetting the verse. But the Bible says God hates divorce.
Is there any particular thing he hates about divorce? Specifically, I mean, if people decide to just walk away from each other because this thing is not working and the thing is just not gelling properly and it's just not working and they walk away, that's peaceful. What's there to hate?
Because my understanding is when two are getting married, they are being likened to the marriage between God and his church. So that would be a sermon which you'll be preaching now, saying God can easily divorce his church. He hates his what? His church. So I think that's the reason why God hates divorce. And at the same time, it can promote adultery when someone is used to have someone, a spouse to sleep with, all of a sudden you are divorced. That thing, you'll desire it. So you are forced to seek for it somewhere else. But that becomes adultery, which it becomes wrong now.
No, but you just get somebody else to marry and then life goes on.
It's not as easy as that because God permits someone to remarry when a spouse dies.
All right, hang on, Pastor.
So
God hates divorce, and you're saying that that's coming from Scripture.
Now, yes, that's true.
What I'm not quite getting is, what is it that he exactly hates about divorce? Because, I mean, if one is walking away from the spouse because it's just not working, these people are just not the same people and they will never be the same people. It's just terrible for both of them. They're just stressed to be there. And in fact, it was just a horrible choice to start with. And they walk away. I think that's peaceful. What is there to hate about that? This is the part I don't understand.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Be it peaceful, be it violently, God hates that separation. My understanding is when people are being joined together, is God who is joining them. What God joins, let no man separate. That alone is evidence enough that God hates that separation. There might be other reasons. The fact that God joined these people, we are not supposed to separate. What God joins, no one is supposed to reverse. That's my understanding.
Aren't these people the ones who chose each other?
Yes, they can choose each other, but the element that God is the one who established.
Hello, Pastor? Pastor Ngorima? My goodness. Pastor Ngorema, can you hear me?
My way.
All right. Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. You back?
Yes.
You back.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you, Pastor.
Yes. So the fact that the institution belongs to God, they chose to make use of the institution which was established by God. So they are supposed to follow the rules and regulation of God who established it. That's my thinking.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is that God would rather have these people frustrated. They can't even pray because they literally just hate the situation. They're even drifting apart from God simply because of this situation. And God would rather have them in that situation than for them to be separated and divorced, and then they're closer to Him.
Okay. If they decide to divorce, they are not supposed to remarry. And yeah, they're not supposed to remarry. They're supposed to stay single.
Where does it say that?
Of course, off head now. I was not prepared to just give the verses.
Okay.
Yes, but but I'll send you the verses which I'm quoting. Yeah.
I see. All right. In terms of, because we're talking about marriage and the family, so these people are married, they've got children, and of course the marriage is going well. It will, of course, have difficulties a bit, like any relationship. There'll be difficulties here and there, and you're saying that that these people must actually try their best to make it work, despite the circumstances, it can work. Can they do this on their own?
Yeah, the Lord is always present to assist them to make through, because we are supposed to be informed. Mm. We are supposed to be informed, because marriage is for the adults, for the mature, and we are supposed to have information on how to make things work, this thing work, this marriage. Mm. So, if you are blank-minded, well, it won't work. It won't work.
Yeah,
and love generally is factual. It's full of facts. You see, it's not blind. Love sees.
Oh, I thought they're saying love is blind.
No, love sees. Love sees. Uh-huh. Love is not blind. But ignorance is blind, and hatred is blind.
I get you.
Yes.
Now, Pastor, so the two come together and there are no children, and then they are fruitful and they multiply and they've got children in the family. Are there any biblical guidelines on parenting?
Yeah. According to the Bible, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child the way he should go. When he is a grown up, he won't depart from it. So we parent our children according to the will of God. We have the likes of David. He sat down with Solomon, teaching him what he's supposed to do. We have the likes of Abraham, used to train Isaac from childhood till he was weaned. So there are guidelines which are supposed to be followed. Which guidelines? The Bible way is the way to be taken.
Beautiful. So you are saying that the Bible actually has a mouthful on how to parent.
Yes. It gives directions and rules and regulations on how to look after our kids and how to train them.
Now, what happens then with, what does it say about the children who do not want to be trained, who just refuse to be aligned to what they're supposed to do?
Well, the likes of Samuel, he had two sons, Joel and Abijah. He trained them, and these two guys never followed the footpath of Samuel, and the end of them was disastrous. So they will be punished by the Lord. You see, so they will be punished. As parents, we are supposed to do the best that we can. Then as the child goes, grows up, he will make her own personal choices.
But
as parents, we are supposed to do our very best. And the best teaching which we can give our kids is leading by example.
So where God does the punishing, if they are wayward and they just don't want to listen and they do what they like, we leave it to God. He will punish. That's not our part.
Yes. According to my understanding, from childhood, of course, God's punishment is there, but we have a part to play in the training, because training is not something which is easy, and it's a process. And in the training, we are training someone from being a civilian to be a soldier. So there are rules and regulations to be followed. There is an element of punishing using a rod, just beating the child, not to kill the child, but to train the child, or to bring the child into line.
All right, Pastor, as we wrap up our conversation, what is the most important thing that the listeners must remember about training up a child? About family.
Okay.
About family, rather.
About the family. I think according to Psalms 127, a home is established on the Lord. If God doesn't build a home, those builders will build their home for nothing. So God must be the foundation, number one. Number two, a family is not built in a vacuum, but in the community. So the community has a contribution in our families. And as part of the community as well, we have a contribution to other families for us to have a good community. So firstly, a family is established on the Lord. And secondly, a family exists to benefit the community. Thirdly, a family must be established so that it will shape us for heaven as well.
Beautiful. And that's why the family is important, because they make up societies, right? Families make up societies, and societies make up villages, and villages make up cities and countries. And all of that makes the world we live in.
Very, very, very true.
Beautiful.
Very, very true. So corruption starts in homes, drug abuses starts in homes, etc., etc. So if a home is God-fearing, if all homes are God-fearing, I think our community will be a pleasant community.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Please enjoy the Sabbath.
Thank you. Same applies. Have a pleasant Sabbath.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.